Ross Mullen Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to episode 162 of the Ross Bolin Podcast, otherwise known as RBP 162. I'm your host, Ross Bolin, here in Austin on another beautiful Texas morning in a recording studio behind a church on South Congress with intern AJ. AJ, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. It's a beautiful day outside. The weather's A1. Very special episode today.
I don't like being stuck indoors during sunshine like this, AJ.
It makes me uncomfortable. What else would you be doing, though?
I would be indoors in my house, but looking out a window.
Oh, I thought you wanted to do something outdoors.
No. Well, I'd like to play golf or something. Also, with us today, a very special guest, the lovely Mia Khalifa.
Hi!
Miss Mia.
Hello.
You are glowing.
I am. I showered.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah. But you said you didn't wash your hair, though.
No. Haven't done that in like 5 days.
We don't get that kind of treatment.
No. I asked Jeff. I was like, is this a video podcast? Like, I don't think so. I'm like, cool, not washing my hair.
Jeff's here too, in case we fuck something up and he needs to abandon ship.
Hello.
Hi, Jeff.
How's it going?
Yeah, so we got a lot to talk about today. A good show. We're going to catch up with you, Mia, about some of your personal stuff. We're going to discuss some fun, silly things as well. Try to have some fun. Let's get started. RBP 162 is brought to you by Lisa. Everybody has the right to rest. The key to getting your best rest is the right mattress. Meet Lisa with two incredible mattresses, accessories, and bases for better, deeper rest. The all-foam Lisa mattress is new and improved, featuring cooling LSA 200 foam for enhanced pressure relief for side sleepers. Or you can rest on their Sapira mattress. It's their hybrid. It's the perfect combination of foam and spring for pressure relief and edge-to-edge support. The Sapira is the one I went with. It's a little bit more expensive, but it's the most comfortable bed I've ever slept in my life. I could not more highly recommend it. Lisa's mission is to provide a better night's sleep for everybody, and from day one, they set out to create a company that had heart, which is one of the reasons we love working with them so much. They donate one mattress for every 10 they sell through organizations that work in foster care prevention and other causes as well. And to date, they've donated more than 32,000 mattresses through more than 1,000 nonprofits, including one mattress to my Mimi, who has Alzheimer's in a memory care unit, which is very sweet. Mia's making a sad face. You get 15% off, RBP gang. Any mattress at lisa.com/RBP if you use the code RBP. That's LEESA.com/RBP. Promo code RBP. So at the beginning of the show, Mia, I typically give a personal anecdote to say thank you to people who don't skip through the intro. You know how when you listen to podcasts, you typically skip through the first few minutes because it's just the same old intro over and over?
Yes.
I'm nodding, but no one can see that.
Yeah, Jeff was nodding, but no one can see it. So I try to give a little bit of information that way the non-skippers will have something the skippers don't have. So we are one day into me abstaining from weed for a week.
What?
In an effort to restore my memory and lower my tolerance. It's for selfish reasons, not for good reasons.
Tolerance, that's where I understood it.
I want to be able to get higher smoking less and also remember more of my life. So those are just two normal things. But anyway, so I'm utterly and completely bored. I'm just kidding. Shit is going well so far. I feel a little bit sharper today, a little bit less cloudy than I did yesterday. So hopefully I will forget what I'm saying mid-sentence fewer times in this episode than I have recently. I have had a lot of people DM me or tweet at me saying, like, you know what? I needed a break too, so fuck it. I'll take this week off with you, which, as always, makes it a lot easier for me to do than doing it alone. So I appreciate that. And hopefully by the end of the week, we'll all have genius-level IQs and solve world hunger. If you're new to the Ross Bolin Podcast, almost every episode, sorry, Mia, I just kicked you.
No,
is, it was your bag, which is probably worse. Somehow worse. every day we fill up our Instagram at the Ross Bolin Podcast with photos and videos sent in by you guys, the RBP gang, but that's not what I was talking about. If you're new to our show, every episode is broken down into segments, which you can find with time cues below in the description. You don't have to have listened to any of the preceding episodes in order to enjoy RBP 162, but if you like it, There are 161 backlogged episodes for you to go listen to, get caught up on, learn about animals, pirates, serial killers, Mia Khalifa, and other shit. Follow us on Instagram at the Ross Boland Podcast. That is where every day photos and videos sent in by you guys, the listeners, are uploaded. I mostly collect those photos and videos through Snapchat. At WR Boland is my Snapchat. Keep the good snaps coming. We'll keep the best ones going up on our Instagram story at the Ross Boland Podcast each and every day. We're also on Twitter at Ross Boland Pod, and we're on Facebook somewhere too, but nobody cares. Announcements and amends. First, I got word from a member of the RBP gang named Knox that the recently discussed Marcus Lattimore, you remember Marcus Lattimore, he is now head of player development at the University of South Carolina, and he's basically, his job, as explained to me by Knox anyway, is to prepare the dudes who aren't going to get a chance in the league for life after football.
Apparently. They should all have to do that.
Apparently. Well, yeah, but you know how there's dudes who it's like, okay, this guy's clearly going to the NFL.
Yeah.
And they probably do a little bit less prep on what life's going to be like without football for that guy than they do for the
probably
dude who's like...
Probably a mistake also.
Well, and it's a huge mistake. But also, there's like the third string corner who, he's not going to the fucking league. And somebody needs to teach him the basic skills of life or whatever. And Marcus Lattimore and his two formerly insured knees are there to do that. So that's...
How long has he had that position? That just happened?
No, I don't think so. I think he's been there for a little bit. But we were talking about like how, the insurance thing and how college players get fucked, and it's awful, but how he got...
He's a great example.
He's the perfect example. Yeah, he got a little bit of money out of it, but it was not... I mean, it was like $1.5 million or something for his knees, and that's...
He retired in his second year, I think, and was redshirted the entire first year in the NFL.
I think so, yeah. So it's a shitty situation, but apparently he's doing something good with it, and that's all you can ask for. So good for Marcus Lattimore. Quickly, Emily Ratajkowski, who we made fun of her situation with her housing situation with her now husband.
I listened to that.
Yeah. So she finally took to Twitter to try to address what's going on with her and the rent situation in New York City, and they're basically trying to use a loophole for artists in an effort to keep their rent lower when she's a like multi-million-dollar swim line owner and model. It's just a funky thing. She took to Twitter to express her... I guess how upset she is with everyone for even commenting on that. Here's her tweet. Three tweets, really. Husband is 38, not 31. He's an independent movie producer, so people think he's rich. So people thinking he's rich is real nice, but not based in fact. Okay, can we just start with the fact that she just aged her husband 7 years and then said he's actually not as successful as people think he is?
Wow. So you're married to a deadbeat.
It's just a little odd to be like, actually, he's 38
and he doesn't have a job.
He doesn't have any money.
I don't know if he has no money. He's just saying that. No,
he's worth $12 million.
Right. Okay, look.
I don't know that.
I think he's worth at least several million.
At least.
And they're arguing for like a rent control situation that's just... if nothing else, a little weird for rich people to be arguing about. So
she's like, I'm doing this in the good name of people who are getting priced out of their neighborhoods. Like,
as an artist. She's trying to represent her and him as artists. And I get that they're artists. Fine. Sure. Whatever. That's great. But they're rich artists. Yeah. They're not struggling artists.
Yeah.
Emily Ratajkowski is one of the most famous people on the fucking planet. Bar none. That's like, she's top 25. You can't argue otherwise.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Anyway, she continues. He was raised in the neighborhood he lives in now. Both of his parents are artists who were priced out of their homes in downtown New York. I moved in with him a year ago. I'm proud he's fighting the good fight against a real estate conglomerate that bought the building he lives in for $40 million and has continued to spread misinformation on its tenants in order to profit. NYC has changed so much, and it's a shame that people who work in creative fields are being moved out of the city. You're not being moved out of the city. You simply cannot afford to live in the fucking city anymore.
No one said they couldn't live in the city.
But again, she can.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it all a little weird to me.
Did she comment on whether or not she has a butthole?
Not yet. You know, Jeff, I've been working really hard to get in contact with somebody in Emily's camp to get a comment on whether or not she has a butthole. Mia, do you have any idea what we're talking about right now?
Yes, I do. I follow you on Instagram.
Okay, yeah, her bathing suits, man. I've got a theory. That's all I'm saying. I've got theories. All right. Happy birthday to Macy coming up March 31st. You've got yourself a solid boyfriend. Hope you have a great one. I got an email from a listener named Pete explaining Rotten Tomatoes for me. He said, Ross, what's up, man? Big fan of the podcast. Keep it going. I completely agree with the Jordan Peele take. The movies are entertaining, but not the revolutionary masterpieces that people give them praise for. Another thing is that Rotten Tomatoes scores are kind of confusing. And this is what I didn't know. A 99% actually means that 99% of people who reviewed the movie gave a score of 6 out of 10 or higher.
I didn't know that.
So if two people review it.
Well, I think there's a minimum quantity. Sure.
Rotten Tomatoes is just how many positive reviews it has. Metacritic shows.
I had no idea.
An average score.
Yeah, I didn't know that we were looking at it. That 99% just represented.
I didn't know that either.
I had
no
idea.
So many movies. Yeah. That get like 99%.
That makes way more sense. And now I'm like, oh, okay. And now I don't feel like I've underreacted to Us as much as I did before.
Do you say Us?
Yeah, it's...
It's
yeah.
weird, right?
God damn it. So I don't know how to say S's, apparently. I say Z's instead. We talked about it last episode, but Jeff, catch up. anyway, he said, I thought this would put things in perspective. Gang, 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 best Pete. Appreciate it, Pete. RossBolinPodcast.com is our website. RattyGentleman.com/RBP is where you can find the RGRBP... What is it? What's the word I'm looking for? Well, it's our clothes. Go buy some fucking clothes. Collaboration, that's the word.
Oh, okay.
RBP15 will get you 15% off your entire order on RattyGentleman.com. I don't have any amends as I have not been made aware of any new mistakes that I've made since yesterday's episode. So let's get into this RBP162. Mia, thank you for sitting there and listening to me while I talk for 5 minutes.
It's so soothing.
Are you ready, though?
I am.
Intern AJ, are you ready?
Yeah.
Jeff, are you ready?
I'm more or less here to watch.
That's good. That's good. Okay, first segment. Let's open up with, this one's called, Oh No, Dr. Dre, What Is You Doing?
Oh, God.
And Mia's completely unaware of this story, so this is going to be an educational experience for her as well. You're familiar with Dr. Dre.
I am, yes.
A very famous music producer. This is going to be like a little icebreaker segment for us. Have you been following the college admissions scandal?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So
wait, he got his kid into college?
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, you're about to find out.
Oh.
So Dre, he took the opportunity to get a gram off, all right? He put up an Instagram post to him and his daughter with her admissions fucking certificate. She's holding it. And he made the caption, my daughter got accepted into USC all on her own, no jail time, !! So, I mean, I get it. Dre takes the opportunity.
That's pretty awesome.
Take a pot shot at Lori Loughlin and shit. It's kind of funny. You know, I'm sure Dr. Dre doesn't have that many opportunities to get grams off these days. He shot his shot. The problem is immediately afterwards, he deleted the post because a $70 million donation he made to USC resurfaced.
Oh, my
resurfaced,
God.
Resurfaced as if, like, that's unnoticeable.
It was buried, Jeff. They dug up the $70 million.
You think he forgot about it, though? Like, when he posted that, maybe it just slipped his mind?
You know what's funny? That's a legit possibility.
You know, it could happen.
Can you imagine having so much money that $70 million is like, I don't know, maybe I did that.
So here's from NBC News. It says, by Sunday evening, the rapper and founder of Beats by Dre had deleted his post after social media users found that he and producer Jimmy Iovine, everybody knows Jimmy Iovine, made a $70 million donation in 2013 to the school for the creation of the Jimmy Iovine and Andre Young, Dr. Dre's real name.
It's named after him.
Academy for Arts.
Oh my God.
He has a building.
He's a not smart.
No, he is a not smart.
Oh my God.
This was I'm sorry, I didn't even finish. It's a longer name. The Jimmy Iovine and Andre Young Academy for Arts, Technology, and the Business of Innovation. The motherfucker just couldn't help himself. He had to get an Instagram off.
I'm selling my furniture on Craigslist right now at like $50 a pop. I can't imagine having enough money to just hand out $70 million and then also not notice it.
Or just forget. And then crack a joke related to that fucking very important amount of money that you hand. Anyway, the point is, obviously not a good look, especially for his daughter. Like, can you imagine walking around campus after your dad did this?
Yeah.
And you're already Dr. Dre's daughter?
If he hands out beats to people on the quad, she'll be good.
That's a good point.
That'd be a good way to deal
good
with it.
Good icebreaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would definitely be down to grab some free beats from the USC
Andrea.
Quad.
Would you like some headphones?
Yeah.
My dad made a mistake. Here's some free
gear. You think his name is Andre? Her name's Andrea?
Yes, that's exactly what I think.
Oh, my God.
I hope that's not.
And I hope she gets her doctorate.
And I hope she has a junior at the end of it.
This shit obviously backfired very hard for Dr. Dre. So I just wanted to say, Dre, if you pay me $50,000 a year, I'll make your Instagram account a fucking must follow as a side gig if you're listening.
Dre, pay me $49 and I'll do the same.
Damn it, Mia. Don't undercut me. I'm trying to start a business here. But his poor fucking daughter. Next
business
segment.
Is cutthroat.
It is. Speaking of which, Krispy Kreme Nazis.
No. Yeah. No, we are not here to slander Krispy Kreme. I don't want to hear
any of this. Oh, Mia, this is going to upset you a great deal.
First of all, if they get caught, you know, handing out free donuts for letting a little boy put their hand down their pants, I'm still not going to stop going to Krispy Kreme.
Well, this could change your mind. From Bloomberg, Some of Germany's wealthiest families have long been tainted by Nazi ties. BMW's families, the Quans,
Hugo Boss.
The Krupps is a steel manufacturing family. The Flicks is a mining.
Why do y'all like one syllable?
It's a very, these names are awful.
When I think of German names, I don't think of like single syllable names.
I'm thinking
names.
Like Schnudenheisen.
Yeah. Like 12 like, syllables.
Yeah. Anyway, this is, since World War II, there has been a lot made of these families that built their fortunes on the backs of the Holocaust, essentially. And World War II in general.
Jeff, look away.
Well, now...
it's audio.
Can't say shit like that. Now, the dynasty behind Panera Bread and Krispy Kreme donuts has been dragged into this thing. They're called the Reimann family. R-E-I-M-A-N-N.
Too many syllables. That's why they got caught.
They did. And they own Krispy Kreme, Panera Bread.
Their company, Auschwitz.
Their company's called J.B. I knew you were going to make at least a few off-color Holocaust jokes in here, so I was prepared for this. They used Russian civilians and French prisoners of war as forced labor for their businesses and private villas in the Nazi era, according to a German newspaper report. Which is a bummer, because Krispy Kreme's fantastic and the best, and it's just pure sugar bombs, and I've enjoyed them for 31 years without any guilt. And now...
So now you're going to have guilt?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, that's well, I'm waiting for the part where you're like, this is going to change your mind. I'm like, now I just want Krispy Kreme after this.
Here's the thing. Look...
I'm gonna make Jeff go in.
I don't know.
I don't
this
have
family.
A problem with this.
We don't know these fucking people. Like, I don't know if
they probably don't even know who they are. Like, yeah. The Reimanns don't.
Generations.
Even know.
Back,
yeah.
Right.
Everyone's like, grandparents were shitty.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
and
pretty
then they get
fair.
Grandkids and like, oh, look how nice I am to these grandkids.
Right. Like most white people's great grandparents have said terribly racist things at some point in their life if they're American.
My grandmother rolled up her windows when we drove through a neighborhood once.
See,
I remember that.
Did you just crush a vape?
Oh, she's done that like four times. You didn't notice?
I'm supposed to call you out on the air. Do you want me to clap and edit it out? You good?
No. I'm just embarrassed I got caught.
Oh, well, I'm sitting right next to you.
I'm smoking cigarettes.
And I'm not blind. What did you think? The guy who smokes weed?
We didn't notice the three other times I did it.
I'm on day two of no weed. You thought I wouldn't notice you hitting anything?
This
I know.
Nicotine.
No, I know.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I've got a radar for these things. It goes off and...
Would you like some?
Fuck no.
Okay.
Get that thing away from me.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, they donated to Nazi organizations.
Currently?
No. Way back in 1931.
I'm still not going to not go to Krispy Kreme.
What would it take?
Nothing.
Nothing could stop
you. For them to close down.
Nothing could stop you from
going to Krispy Kreme. And even then, I will barricade those doors with my own body.
Mia, that's disturbing. You need to purchase your own Krispy Kreme and make it Nazi-free. This is what you do when you go out to LA.
Most Krispy Kremes are Nazi-free at the moment.
I don't see a sign out the front that says...
Also, in a historical context, it's pretty hard to find anyone of wealth in Nazi Germany who didn't use slave labor.
Yeah.
Like, Hugo Boss literally designed the Nazi uniforms, all the SS uniforms.
Is that true?
Yes.
Allegedly, is that true?
No, 100% is true. Hugo Boss...
Oh,
that's why they look so fucking good.
What the fuck?
All sense. The...
They are undisputably the best-looking uniforms in any military history.
I'll go with that, yeah. That's why there's so many World War II movies.
They were definitely the most intimidating uniform.
They were badass. Sure.
That's a good point, man. They were good-looking uniforms.
They were so fucking fresh.
But just
bad. That's why, like, space villains always look like space Nazis. Because they're
Holy
just
shit.
Aping that.
I'd never really thought about that. But yeah, they get into that in this column on Bloomberg and everywhere else this has been covered today. This kind of broke late last night, early this morning.
So you quit smoking weed and you were up at 1 in the morning Googling Krispy Kreme?
Yeah, well, yeah, when you smoke,
or Nazi
when
Germany.
When you rely on weed to go to sleep and then you take it away, instead of sleeping, you read about how the Krispy Kreme people used to be Nazis. That's what you do.
I watched a documentary on Netflix about the space program, and
yeah.
They go over this whole, basically the entire first episode is about how all of Nazi rocket scientists became either Russian or American rocket scientists afterwards, and 100% of all their research was on the backs of slave labor.
Oh.
So you kind of have to look away at
For
a
sure.
certain point to
no.
just move on.
I mean, that's a good point, Jeff. There's no way you can really, like, sift through history without encountering all types of horrible shit like this. But, and yeah, the article, as I mentioned, gets into how most of Germany's biggest fortunes trace back to the Nazi era.
Makes sense.
There's the $36 billion combined wealth of Suzanne Klatten and Stefan Quandt, who are major shareholders in a German company I cannot pronounce. They have industrial... Or they had ties to the Third Reich's war machine. They go through this long-ass list. Basically, all of the wealthy German people.
It's just, you know what? Let's just make it a broader stroke and say all wealthy people are bad people. You've done something fucked up to get that much money.
That's kind of like we were talking about
yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with that. When we were talking about Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Except for professional athletes.
Well, but
they just played ball.
They just beat their wives.
Well, yeah, okay.
In some cases, they do bad shit too, yeah. But no, I mean, in most cases, I do think to get to a position of great power or wealth, you have to compromise your morals repeatedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in order to do that...
You ever watch one of those Steve Jobs movies where there's that guy who's like on the founding team and he's like, that guy gets nothing.
Yeah.
And just points at that one guy. And he's like, fuck that guy.
What the fuck? I've seen like 3 Steve Jobs movies now and they all make him out to be the biggest prick. It's...
Oh, did you read that book?
No, but I heard that makes him out to be the biggest of all big pricks.
Oh my God. I read it, audiobook on a long drive from like California to here. And basically, if he was born somewhere else, he would have been like a third world dictator is the clear conclusion.
Yeah, he was a bit off. But also, he invented our phones, so that's...
Love that man.
And no Nazi stuff. So anyway, let's
move on. He invented blue bubbles.
You ready to talk about you?
Yes.
You sure?
I think so.
You're sick of the silliness?
No, I love it.
Okay.
We can talk about Nazis all day. We should do a Nazi podcast.
You guys, that's on you. I'm full, chock full of podcasts. Between Game of Thrones and this one, I don't have time for a Nazi one. Next segment, marrying off Mia Khalifa.
To the highest bidder.
How many goats?
How many goats did you get for me, Jeff?
That's the name of the segment. Jeff, you'll answer that question momentarily. Since we last talked.
Which was a while ago.
It really was. You've been quite busy, as have I. You've had several major life events occur.
Yes.
Let's start with the fact that you got engaged. Holy shit, congratulations.
Thank you.
Will you hold it up again? Yeah, I saw it like, I don't know, for 426 consecutive slides on your Instagram story. So I'm familiar with the ring, but it's very beautiful.
We had to not do an advertisement that she'd been paid for because of how many slides she did.
Okay, that's a little funny.
Jeff was like, no, this is funny. Post it.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, first of all, to you and Robert. Very happy for you guys. That's super cool. How did he do it first?
Oh, man. Dude, he has been throwing me off his scent for so long. He's been like planting the seed in my brain that he hates restaurant proposals because... He's had to facilitate them in the past, and he thinks they're corny.
He's a chef.
And like, he's a chef.
Yeah.
And he thinks that they're overdone and like blah blah blah. So I never would have expected it at a restaurant.
He set your ass up,
dude. He set me up.
I love it.
Not only did he set me up so deep that the week before he was going to propose, I went to the nail salon and I got these like chrome, metallic silver nails that changed color when the sun hit them.
Pretty hardcore.
Yeah. I've never done anything that's not nude or white. So as soon as he saw those, him and all of my friends colluded against me. And he's like, you got to bully her into changing them. So all of them were like, you look ratchet. You look like a stripper. Anytime I would like, hey, can you pass that? No. Your nails can't touch that.
To be clear, because you would have had all of your engagement photos with stripper nails.
So he was thinking ahead.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you had friends and people on.
Yeah. They were all like, God, your nails look terrible. Let's go change those. Oh my God. Like, I will pay for you to change them. Let's go change them right now.
Jeff, did you know about this before it happened?
Yeah. Fucking asshole.
How long? She's so mad about it. Like,
one told me. If anyone had told me, I would have eaten less that night and we could have had sex after.
Well, that's how it always works, just for the record. Like, with anything important like that, it doesn't go the way you want it to. And
no one's going to warn you about your proposal.
Someone could have been like, hey, maybe don't eat that much tonight.
Mia, that's a warning of a proposal.
The second dessert is a bad idea. You're about to get
proposed. The second, third, or fourth.
I guess I could have just fat shamed you. That wouldn't have given it away.
Y'all do food like I've never fucking seen. Following you and Robert on Instagram is really detrimental to my health. But I feel like I'm living vicariously through all the foods that you eat all around the world. So that's nice.
Can I give you some of those calories vicariously?
No, you get to keep those. You enjoy the taste. You deal with the calories. It's the consequence. So are y'all going to do like a full-blown wedding or how does this work?
We are in 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
Because of all the shit you got going?
He's opening a restaurant. I'm moving to LA. Next summer's not good because it'll probably be around the time his restaurant's opening. So we'll do summer 2021 in France.
Do I get to... In France?
Yeah.
I'm going to cancel my question.
You'll get to go.
Do I get to go? And then you say, friend, like, never mind.
You should have seen... I wish this was a video podcast because I've never seen Ross's face contort to that expression he just made.
Why France?
His family's in Sweden.
Yeah, I know that.
So halfway. Easier for them to get visas to go to France. And we love France. We love the food.
Like in Paris or like what do you...
No, probably like the countryside of somewhere.
Oh,
at like
sick.
A chateau or something.
That's going to be fucking...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if I don't get to go, at least I'll get to watch it on social media.
That's true.
Well, that's exciting. Y'all have a pretty unique situation, obviously, between your very unique career and then Robert being a Swedish chef that I think you might have illegally smuggled into the country in your suitcase.
Just wrote truffles on a duffel bag.
Yeah. So like, what are y'all gonna like? Is his family gonna be there and shit? Is it like, what's gonna be?
Yeah,
is your family gonna be there? You're gonna do like a full for real wedding?
Yeah, we're gonna do a full on wedding. Like all of our closest friends, and you will get the honorary invite.
I will cry at
the
wedding.
Sorry, I don't know you, intern.
No, it's okay.
It's all good.
AJ's not hurt. AJ's
it's
just
totally
happy to,
fine. I'm just
happy to be in the room. Just let the man
breathe. I'm just here.
Yeah.
Just here.
Yeah, we originally wanted to keep it under 20 people, and then after we got engaged, Robert's the type of person. Before we got engaged, like, we'd already been planning about getting married.
Yeah, you'd been tweeting and shit about it for like 6 months.
Yeah,
pretty much since like the month you met him. I was like, Jesus Christ,
Mia. Soon as he followed me on Instagram, I started planning the wedding.
I was like, you're gonna fucking scare this dude away. So that's like, I was partially relieved when he proposed. I was like, oh, thank God. She didn't freak him out.
No, it's definitely mutual, the thirst.
That's good.
So we had been kind of planning the wedding. We sat down and planned it like around November, and just to like get an idea of how much it would cost and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, guest list, very small, our closest friends, like closest,
right,
and family, and that's it. And he makes his list and I make mine. Mine is like 7 people. And I look at his list and it's like 32. I'm like, what the fuck? How do you know so many people? This is narrowed down? What do you mean?
This is usually like for me, it was the reverse. Like, Taylor was like, you're going to need 12 groomsmen to match my bridesmaids. And
oh,
I was like,
no.
I like 6 people.
Yeah.
Like, there's not 12 people. That, anyway, I did end up having
Jeff's
like 8.
Jeff's officiating the wedding.
Well,
you
if
really?
We make it that long.
What?
If you if you two make it that long?
I dare you to try and break up with me.
Just don't do it on the show. I don't want to see the tears and the drama.
Yeah, I'm looking into how to become an officiant.
No shit, that's cool. I had like a step uncle do mine. He did a great job. It was the first wedding he'd ever done. My wedding took about 45 seconds as a result.
That's what I want.
It was beautiful.
Probably. Yeah.
I'll
do a tight 20 of my best stand-up.
Can you just stand-up?
Yeah, and then we'll move into a wedding, bada bing, you got a ring, whatever.
Jeff, you just got to get up there and do bits. That's it. Jeff's going to just do comedy at Mia's wedding until he gets
do all my favorite Mad TV sketches where I play every role
right.
for 25 minutes.
Everyone will love that.
Yeah. You guys like Stuart? Here we go.
As long as you don't get in my light.
Yeah, his Swedish family's really going to love the Mad TV sketches you act up on there on stage. You mentioned the move to LA.
Yes.
Which is rapidly approaching. You're moving.
Oh my God, it's so fucking soon. I leave on like April 15th.
That's fine. You don't have to say when you leave, but whatever. Jeff's all freaked out about giving out Mia's personal information.
Information about where you will be at certain times, then people can find you.
Well, good thing I gave out the wrong date because I'm not an idiot.
Well, now they know it's the wrong date.
Look, she's fucking a secret agent over here. She gives out fake dates for things now. But it was
way more slick than saying, oh, I can't really talk about it.
Okay.
You didn't have
fair
to
enough.
Say that.
Look, just get back on track here. God almighty. It's like dealing with fighting brother and sister. Y'all are moving in what? A few weeks in the next 6 months.
See, that
at some point. At some point, you're going to be moving to LA.
I'm moving way sooner than I should be for what I have
after
passed
Shazam,
so far.
But before Avengers.
There you go. That's a good way of looking at the calendar. How do you know when Shazam comes out?
Because it comes out next week.
Oh, well, that's easy enough. You've been here for how long? How long you been in Austin?
3 years.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, it feels like longer.
I love it here.
Have we only known each other for 3 years?
Yeah, man. I met you like the first couple months that I lived here.
Goddamn, dude. I've aged 15 years in 3 years we've known each other probably.
Lots changed.
Yeah.
Well, no, you have aged backwards because you lost so much fucking weight.
I mean, like, internally. Like, my organs and shit are, like, fucking rotting out from the inside because of stress and anxiety. But, yeah, outside, I look much better than I used to when you first got to know me. We were talking about that off mic. I was Fat Ross when Mia got to know me. Now she thinks I'm, like, frail and dying.
Yeah, I'm like, are you okay?
Like, this is what I'm supposed to look like.
Is Taylor not feeding you?
You just, like, fat me.
I did.
Okay, so you're going to be what? Doing what in L.A.? Are you allowed to
unpacking.
Tell me that?
Unpacking. I'm going to be unpacking for the first 6 months I live there, if it goes at the speed of how long it's taking me to pack to go there.
Okay.
Now, when I get there, Jeff, what am I doing?
We're going to try and launch a podcast.
Yes.
Trying to get you into acting. We're going to work on a cookbook.
I didn't know. I said that because I don't know what I'm allowed to say. Because every time I try
almost
and say something,
almost
you're
everything
like.
Everything is okay.
That's why, just not where you're
going to
be.
Me and Robert
why.
Are trying to launch a podcast together.
Like y'all's YouTube channel, sort of?
Yeah, but except we're going to, you know.
With a format.
Update it.
Oh, okay.
More frequently.
Yeah, that's, at least.
Dude, that's exciting. Yeah, it was weird. I subscribed to your YouTube and then.
Well, we lost our video editor for a while.
I think it takes a lot. It's just so much more work to do video,
plus
man.
Plus you're not in the same place.
And you also are not in the same place a lot of the time, so.
That's true. But the podcast will be much easier because we can bang out. We can knock out a couple episodes, you know. in 1 week and bank them to post.
Sex.
Yeah. Yeah. So much. I can't wait to move in with him.
Oh, my God. All right. And then Robert's going to be opening a restaurant. Is it going to be in L.A.?
Yes.
And what kind of, is it going to be French food?
No, it's going to be upscale fine dining.
Swedish food?
No.
Is there Swedish food?
There is. There's a place called... No, I think that might be just New York and D.C.
Like, is Swedish food a type?
There's an IKEA there.
No, I'm saying... what is a Swedish food? I'm trying to think of a Swedish food.
Like Swedish food is like meatballs and a lot of salmon and, you know, things on toast.
Mm. Okay. Google says that it's Swedish.
And a semla.
Here, it says Swedish cuisine is the traditional food of the people of Sweden.
Nailed it.
That sounds accurate.
Always go to Google.
That's why you don't ask Jeeves.
It's pretty helpful. It's pretty helpful. I feel like, oh, here's some more. There are regional differences between the cuisine of the North and South Sweden. That's great. That's so helpful. I'm so glad I read that. What are you doing?
Sweating.
Jesus.
Sorry, I'm nervous.
Shaking the sweat out from your pits to your... fucking disgusting. My God, woman. I'm trying to focus here.
It's your tits. Could be a bumper sticker.
There's a rundown to be paid attention to.
I have a lot of bandages on me right now.
Well, that's a good segue. You recently underwent some physical alterations, like you got some work done.
I did.
Or fixed in some cases,
yes.
I suppose.
Yes, I got work done on my chesticles.
I have a first bullet point here that just says titties, so we'll start there.
I hope with two D's.
I was just going to ask that. Titties or D's?
Yeah, so it is T-I-D-D-I-E-S.
As it should be.
Titties, double D's. And
I asked my doctor to only refer to them as titties.
Yeah, we're in mixed company, so it's got to be titties.
Yeah. What the fuck
He's
happened?
Too.
That's not what mixed company means.
Oh.
I didn't know what you meant.
I don't know what he meant either. I just try to pretend sometimes.
Gentlemen and ladies.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Gotcha.
I just shake my head and smile when I don't know what's going on, and people think typically
it's worked
that
for
I,
you since 6 grade.
Yeah, it has been working really well up until that point right there. So, what the fuck happened with your boobs, though?
So, I went to a playoff game in D.C. when the Capitals were playing Tampa Bay in May of last year. And I was sitting against the glass, front row, and I looked over.
Nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. Literal dream come true. That was one of those moments that was like, everything I've done up to here has been worth it.
And then she pressed against it too hard.
No, that's not. I did not press against the glass, idiot.
Although that is an incredible visual. I mean that in the least sexual way possible, by the way. An incredible visual in a comedic manner.
Yeah.
To be clear.
And I turn over to my friend Lindsay, and I'm talking to her, and all of a sudden, everything goes black for me. I see nothing, and I'm doubled over, and I look down, thinking that there was going to be, like, I was holding down on my chest, thinking that if I let go, blood was going to go everywhere.
Because you and got hit?
I got hit with a puck going 80 miles an hour.
Oh.
And I look down, and there's just ice on me, like melting ice all over me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what happened? Who shot me with an ice bullet?
If you don't know anything about hockey, those pucks are frozen as shit, and they're not
frozen. They're made of rubber.
Well, but they're on the ice. They're very, very hard.
Yeah.
You can see the picture of what she was wearing on Instagram,
too. You can
see
the ice still on me.
It's not, like, insulated.
Yeah.
So you were struck by an 80-mile-an-hour flying hockey puck.
Yeah. And I look down at my feet, and there's a puck there. And all of a sudden, all of the pain goes away. And I'm like, holy fuck, I got a playoff puck!
You lived your entire life for that moment.
It was incredible. The pain, the surgery, everything was worth it. I got a Washington Capitals Stanley Cup playoff puck the year that they went on to win the Stanley Cup.
I'm trying to imagine, like, there is no equivalent for me because I love the Astros, but getting a foul ball, I'd be like, I don't know, it's a fucking baseball. There's no equivalent. Like, a Rockets game with the basketball bounces to you, you have to throw it back.
It doesn't happen in hockey because they have the mesh up.
Right. So it's pretty rare that the puck gets through to the fucking, what do you call it, spectators in the first place.
Yeah.
Because,
Let alone displaces an implant, makes you lose 2 inches of volume in your left titty.
So it knocked your implant out of place?
No. The implant is secure. What it did was it broke apart the scar tissue. And I lost a shit ton of volume there. Like, I got an MRI. The implants were completely intact. It's just the loss of volume from the impact of the puck.
So you're dealing with, like, an uneven situation.
Completely uneven. So, like, obviously aesthetically uneven.
Which is not that big of a deal if you have small boobs.
Yeah.
But you don't.
No. So, like, in photos, I'd have to, like, push this one up a little bit more with like my arm.
The left one needed a little more support than the other?
Oh, it always needs more support.
Oh, fuck. Well, yeah. So you went and got that taken care of.
Yeah. So they didn't need to like change my implants or anything, thank God, because that recovery would have been brutal. All he did was he fat grafted and he took some fat from like my my lower back and put it into my left boob.
He made
boob. You still look down. You said left like six times, but you still look down to make sure.
Yeah, I wish. Oh God, you're right. This should be recorded. The fact that you just had to look down at your boob to know
and
which
I did
one it
the
was.
L's. That's I was how looking at my hands under the table, not even my boobs.
That's how I learned to play Twister.
Good Lord. The guy that did this for you.
Dr. Hockey.
His name is Dr. Hockey?
No, his name is Dr. Jay Calvert, and he is...
But his mother calls him Dr.
Incredible. He has a podcast called the Dr. Hockey Podcast. The way he found me was because he is an avid hockey fan. So he reached out to Jeff, and he goes, can we have her on the podcast? And then he was like, wait, no. First, we got to fix our boob, but then can we have, her on the podcast?
Nice. So that worked out. That guy must be some kind of fucking god, because
he's
if you
incredible.
Can take lower back fat and turn it into a titty, for me, that's like the coolest thing in the world.
I didn't even know that was possible.
It is.
I didn't either. Now I'm... wondering if I have some spare back fat that could be turned into boobs elsewhere, because it just seems like that'd
like
be
a thigh boob for you.
That's a better use of my fat. More boobs in the world is good. Me, fat, not. Maybe I'll go back to Fat Ross and see how many titties I can make out of the extras. I don't know. It's all up in the air now. What else?
What else? Nothing. Work's chugging along. It's slowed down a little bit since the move is...
underway.
Yeah. It's taken over both me and Jeff's life. Jeff's moving to LA with me. Yeah. Not voluntarily.
Jeff, what the fuck? You're leaving me here? I'm going to be the only person left in this city.
Yeah, he literally had no choice.
Speaking of Jeff, as you know, Jeff and I text on occasion, especially when we're talking about trying to get you on the show or something. And he was telling me that you're allegedly some kind of expert on the latest in the Johnny Depp Amber Heard saga, which I wasn't even aware was still ongoing.
Did you hear about that?
No. I had no idea until Jeff hit me up yesterday about this. So.
It made me so mad that everyone knows what Johnny Depp did to Amber Heard, but no one knows what Amber Heard fucking did to Johnny Depp.
So why is this all coming out right now, though? That's what
I don't
understand.
Because he submitted it to the courts, finally.
So it's going through the court system.
Yeah,
and
he submitted it to the courts and it was made public. Like, he kept his mouth shut until he got all of the evidence he needed, and then he submitted it.
So you're like...
So he was a stand-up guy for not, like... oh, I'm going to get you, bitch. Wait until you see what I have on you. Like, no, he kept his mouth shut and he just let the evidence speak for itself.
Now, because I'm literally like completely ignorant on this situation, all I know is that Johnny Depp was accused. I can't call him by his first name and pretend like I can get away with that. Johnny Depp. Johnny. Hey, my buddy Johnny. Was accused of like domestic violence shit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she had a bruise on her face and everything.
So
her sister, she had her sister punch her in the face.
Shut the fuck. Is that what he's accused of?
It's on camera.
Allegedly. Yeah. Allegedly. Oh, yeah. Jeff was like, you guys are going to have to say allegedly a lot. I might put allegedly in the title of this. Why do you know about all this shit? Why do you follow it so closely?
I came up on my news things on Twitter, and then I started reading into it, because nothing makes me more mad than when a woman like Amber Heard gives all women a bad name.
So you think she's taking advantage
also,
of this system?
I will defend Johnny Depp until the day I die. I love him.
No matter
you're
what.
Also defending Nazis like
that's
20
true.
Minutes ago.
Your standard for defense is quite low at this
and Kevin
point.
Spacey.
Between the Nazis, Kevin Spacey, and now Johnny Depp.
I love Kevin Spacey.
One of the things Jeff mentioned to me was that there was someone allegedly pooping on someone else's bed.
Amber Heard took a shit on Johnny Depp's pillow because he was
allegedly.
10 minutes late to her birthday party because he was in a business meeting.
If somebody shits on your pillow because you're 10 minutes late, if that was the case for me in my life, I'd have poop everywhere on all my pillows. I'm late constantly. But taking a shit on someone's pillow is
that's
a
like
drastic-
next level psycho.
I mean, can't even wrap my head around that.
Yeah. You know, do you know how hard it is for me to go anywhere, like when anyone is remotely anywhere near my building or
like
house?
Like to use the restroom, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I'm a shy
like
defecator
when I first
and
went
peer.
To visit Robert in Copenhagen, I didn't go for 11 days.
She got a hotel room.
11 days.
Hold on. Did you buy a separate hotel room so you could
no.
Poop?
Even when he went to work, my like body was like, what if he just comes back? And it wouldn't let me go.
That would actually
11 days.
Be genius. If you like, if you can afford it, it's like, fuck it. I'm just going to get a hotel room to shit
so
in.
So I would sneak out in the middle of the night and go downstairs to the spa bathroom
dude,
at the hotel we were staying
why
at.
Are
and
girls
still,
so-
my body was like, what if he wakes up and texts you, where are you? No, you can't
seeing
go.
My other Swedish boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, your other Swedish boyfriend. So, like one of my former female coworkers, I won't say her name, I don't want to throw her under
Jessica.
The bus. But yeah, Jessica. She used to tell us about the same type of thing. When she'd get a new boyfriend, she'd go 6, 7, 8, 9 yep. days without ever taking a poop. And we were like, I mean, of course, we've always, you know, there's always been jokes about like girls don't poop. Emily Ratajkowski doesn't have a butthole.
We physically can't.
All that shit.
You know, that old joke. Where's that from? I don't know.
It's been going on for months. But the point, obviously, women poop. They're human beings, just like us, just like men. It has to go somewhere. There's waste.
The voice of equality for a generation.
I am. I've been fighting long and hard for everyone to recognize, except for Emily. She does not have a butthole, and I want everyone to recognize that she is different than everyone else. Everyone else is
just
the same.
Just comes out of her mouth, apparently.
I just can't imagine taking a shit on somebody's pillow, man.
Yeah.
For any reason.
Yeah.
Frankly.
That's disgusting.
I really don't get keying people's cars either, but that seems like it'd be way more of a rational move in this case than taking a shit on the man's pillow.
Yeah.
He submitted 87 videos to the courts of her beating him in the lobby of their building, in the elevator of their building, in the hallway, into their apartment, and security footage from inside their apartment.
So you, I'm sorry, do you genuinely believe that this is going to end up being like a there's two sides to every story situation?
No.
Johnny's like,
no,
not going to look bad?
No, she needs to get everything she has earned as a voice of the Me Too movement taken away, like having a role to speak at the UN for women's rights.
Okay, but you don't think there's like a chance she's not lying?
No, she is a lying ass hoe.
I don't know shit about her. I don't even know what the fuck she looks like, frankly. Allegedly.
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 Hmm. I tried to say allegedly while I was taking a sip, and it sounded like blah, 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 blah. Didn't work. Any other Johnny Depp, Amber Heard news?
No, that's
like
it. That's all I got.
I got something
allegedly.
To add. So
got some.
As manager voice, after she started tweeting about it, all these like Amber Heard defense teams started coming out. And she doesn't.
Oh, you mean like Amber Heard fans?
Yeah, she wouldn't see any of this because she doesn't get notifications from people she doesn't follow. But
only you.
There's
Rob,
like
and Jess.
Team Amber, Mara Queens, like all these different bullshit DC.
Oh,
super
dude,
fans.
I've got the Michael Jackson people on my.
Oh yeah,
fucking sucks. These people suck.
Go say anything about Taylor Swift next.
Oh,
see what happens.
No, I'm not messing with the Taylor Swift people and the Beyonce people. I stay away from. I'm not scared of any of the other fan group freaks. But those two will ruin your fucking life. If every single one of your Instagrams is filled up with little bee emojis for the rest of your life, you're going to go insane at some point. And that's what will happen if you piss off the beehive.
That's what happened to Rachel, my...
What'd she do?
When...
Did she speak ill of Beyonce?
No. She has an unfortunate close name resemblance to the girl that Jay-Z allegedly cheated on Beyonce with.
Oh,
so
fuck.
Her entire comment section was getting blown up.
Oh, people thought
with
she
the
was
B emoji.
People thought she was Becky with the good hair.
Yeah,
and she wasn't.
No, she does have good hair. Sorry, Rachel, I love you.
Pain in the ass for her. Anyway, moving on. RBP 162 is also brought to you by Postmates. The ongoing conflict between you and your stomach is out of control, as always. You got to eat. Because you're fucking hungry and you need sustenance, but you're busy and you don't have anything at home and you just don't have time to go to the grocery store or whatever. That's where Postmates comes in. It's the app that adds a delivery option to your favorite restaurants. Imagine anything you want to eat delivered. You don't have to drive, park, or even talk on the phone to order. Just download the app and order. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, Postmates will bring you what you want within the hour. You can even see where your food is and track your driver. Let's say your idiot husband forgot to bring home eggs and milk, or your boyfriend or whatever. No problem. Just Postmates that shit. Craving a tasty burger? Postmates that shit. Looking for the perfect bottle of red wine or a summer beer? Postmates that shit. Maybe you're a little high and you need some food, but you don't know where to turn. Postmates has got you. Postmates.
You should have her do the next read. More exclusive content for the skippers.
You want to do a read after this?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'll give you the next one.
Awesome.
But for this one, Postmates is giving you $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days, RBP gang. All you got to do is download the app today. Use the code RBP. That's code RBP for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. Save the hassle. Get the food you love fast at Postmates with code RBP. Next segment. Mia Khalifa reads a short story. Ross wrote... Stoned.
Clearing a lot of space.
Yeah,
I'm
you have
so
I've given you a small water cup. You have some kind of lip balm, sunglasses. I've known Mia was going to be on the show today for like a week or so, which afforded me the ability to prepare her a special segment before I took my weed hiatus. And because I enjoy forcing people to read asinine short stories that I write when I'm stoned, why not do the same for Miss Mia Khalifa? This one is actually inspired by a true story from my life, as you will see. But I'm not going to say anymore. I'm just going to give it to you, Mia, and you can take
that
it away.
That is not short.
No, it's short compared to most things, though. Just start reading right there, and you'll be good. Just read that.
Oh, my God. This thing has more sections than Hamlet.
No, it's like it's 2-3 minutes, 4 minutes, maybe, max. Max.
You like reading.
You ready?
Yeah.
You're literate. You can read.
I wear glasses.
To a point. You do look smart.
Thank you. Let me take you back to a simpler time. A time before Instagrams and chat snaps. Before tweets, twits, twats, and books full of faces. A time when people still left their doors unlocked, or at least their back doors. Leaving your front door unlocked is fucking stupid. A time when people let their kids play around in the streets of suburban neighborhoods without a care in the world. It was the year 1999, on the eve of a new millennium, and young Ross Bolin was being taken to a New Year's Eve party by his parents. Part 3. It was one of those adult parties where enough adults have kids that they can all get together and let their kids run wild while they get shit-faced. And if one of them dies or whatever, it's like, ah, shit. Well, all our kids were running around and it could have happened to anyone. I'm not a bad parent. The party was being hosted in a massive mansion, 3 stories in total, with guest quarters that had been taken over by toys for the family's 3 young boys. Part 4. If you were alive for it, you'll recall that this was the New Year's Eve where people were all afraid of their computers would stop working and the world's banking systems would fail and the power grid would collapse. I don't remember.
Holy shit.
Well, you weren't in the country yet.
That's
true.
Yeah,
you weren't in America yet.
People were literally building fallout shelters and stocking up with their year's worth of ramen.
That's just what Lebanon was.
Yeah, that's true. We were a bomb shelter, literally.
That was every day.
Yeah. What a bunch of morons. But I digress. The juicy meat of the story takes place an hour or so into the party. The party of which there must have been a dozen. What?
What?
I was high. Who knows what that was supposed to say? Just keep going.
The kids, of which there must have been a dozen,
had
all grown weary of standing around watching their parents pound drinks and gobble down finger foods. So they went outside to play a game of flag touch football. The ages of the kids were varied.
What the fuck is...
But they were all...
Flag touch football. It's just flag football.
You said flag touch football.
Again, I'm just correcting myself as we go here. This is, again.
Okay, I didn't know this was going to get live edited.
This is exactly why I needed to quit smoking weed for a little bit. Exactly why. Flag touch football.
I don't have someone proofread this. You have an intern. I don't even have that.
I'm the proofreader. If I'm high and I'm proofreading, I can't even do that correctly. See?
The trick is to read it out loud.
I'm sorry for interrupting. This is a great story about me. Please
continue. You notice your mistake when you read something out loud. That's
exactly.
That's a trick for all you kids out there.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff, for that. Okay, Mia, continue.
The ages of the kids was varied, but they were all boys. Ross being the old... Oh, you're speaking in third person.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, I'm me.
All right. Ross being the oldest at, like, I don't know, shit, I can't do math, 13 years old. The second oldest boy being one of the host's children at 12, and the youngest boy being his little brother at roughly 8.
Little bitch.
So flag football is all good and fun, but the kids are all hopped up on sugar and shit, so things start to get overly aggressive. Ross is on one squad, the clear dominant athletic specimen on the field.
Yes.
And the next oldest kid is on the other squad with his little brother as well. And the competition is brewing. Well, at one point, Ross finds himself with the football and nothing but open field in front of him.
My God.
He has a chance to take this thing all the way past the giant oak tree in the neighbor's yard for 6. That's when the 8-year-old son of the hosts pops up from behind said giant oak and starts running towards Ross. Clearly, being an athlete, being a competitor... Being a future New York Times best-selling author, and eventually we have to assume award-winning podcast host, Ross had no choice but to hit this kid with a stiff arm. Can't let the little man grab that flag.
No.
The game is the game. Well, underestimating his own hulkish strength, Ross stiff-armed the little man too hard, and he flew several feet into a small tree.
Several feet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a distance.
Literary exaggeration.
Yes.
He cried and cried and cried like a little bitch. The parents all had to come out and make sure everyone was okay. And that ended the game. So Ross went into the new... I thought that was a typo first.
Willennium.
But it says millennium again.
It's the new millennium.
Get jiggy with it.
Dude, you really missed out on this whole thing. You missed the whole millennium. You really did.
She's living in the millennium right now.
Millennium was Will Smith's album he put out before the millennium.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was the continue.
So
I know
Ross
you're almost
went
done.
Into the new millennium with a dud. The end.
No, a dub, a win.
Well, you can't combine your references from 1999 with your references from today. That's confusing to the audience.
This is just how it's done. Mia, I don't think that could have been done any better. This is complete nonsense.
Yeah, I'll be submitting that to Audible for future jobs.
I'm not sure this is going to be the one that gets me the Pulitzer, but I'm on the right track, and I can't believe you didn't know what the millennium was.
No, I thought it was a typo at first, so I said millennium. I was like, nah, he messed this
like
up. He confused it.
You were like, this stone
dumbass. He had it W for Wumbo. He should have had it M for...
The upside down same letter. Yeah, millennium...
They're not even near each other on the keyboard.
Crazily, was only Will Smith's second studio album. And it was came out in 99, and it's one of the ones that I believe he won a fucking Grammy for. You know, we've given this man Grammys for rapping.
Yeah.
Is that the album with Miami?
I think it was.
Bienvenido a Miami.
Right. It has to be that one.
Welcome to Miami. That was a great song,
by
the way.
That is a great song.
If
Let
nothing
me tell
else.
You, I played that about 4 hours worth on a loop when I was
arrived?
Driving from El Paso
Good
to Miami
oh,
when I was moving there.
Oh, yeah. Dude,
it was fantastic.
That had to have been the car ride from hell.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing for an entire Texas state.
But.
Like the entire drive.
Miami. The
Miami
song.
Was so pretty. Yeah. And the song was great.
Next segment. Appreciating the onion. You know the onion?
Yeah.
Y'all know the onion.
Yeah.
You're all familiar with the onion. I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge how fucking funny the onion still is after all these years. For those of you who have no idea what the onion is, you are a moron and you need to educate yourself. It was based in Chicago. It started just as a print publication way back in the late 80s in Madison, Wisconsin. In the spring of 96, they began publishing online. In 2007, they began publishing satirical news audio and video online. They've kept the point is they've been expanding their content offering ever since.
He's just reading their Wikipedia.
I know.
This is literally from Wikipedia.
I was laughing because I was remembering my favorite video sketch they did.
Dude, they're the fucking best.
Have you
and
seen?
They don't get enough credit.
Have you seen the one where it's the two girls like on the morning show talking about their friend who's been kidnapped?
No.
And they're just gossiping about middle school bullshit.
No, but that's a perfect Onion video. See, and the thing about the Onion is they've got their comedy down so pat that you, like, when you read an Onion headline, you know that's a headline from
absolutely.
The Onion.
Absolutely, but
you know
nowadays you're not really sure.
No, because it's been knocked off so much and there's people ripping them
the
off.
The world is the
no,
nightmare.
The, yeah, exactly.
Like actual news.
That's what I meant.
Okay, well, that too. But even then, they've done such a good job in the Trump era even of finding ways to continue to make hilarious fun of everything that's going on in our society. So like this
yeah, I'll
started,
be laughing all the way to the gallows. Thank you.
Yes, I will as well. And for the record, like back when The Onion was just a print publication, I remember I used to grab it from like they would have newspaper bins in like some of the restaurants and sandwich shops and shit in San Marcos, Texas, where AJ goes to school now at Texas State University. And I would like grab one, laugh for 10 minutes, put it back when I left after I ate my sandwich or whatever. And that was how my relationship with The Onion started. Then they moved online. Then they started making video. They've just gotten bigger and better. Here's something from their Wikipedia. In 1999, comedian Bob Odenkirk, who's the guy who plays Saul Goodman.
Mr. Show with Bob and David.
Yeah, praised the public. Also, people don't realize that about Bob Odenkirk, that he's actually like ridiculously talented comedically and has done all these different things, and people just think he's the guy from Breaking Bad. He's definitely not.
I guess if you're of a certain age, you might think that.
Yeah, but he's had a fucking great career. Anyway, point is, he said, it's the best comedy writing in the country. Saying this of The Onion, and it has been since it started. And I was thinking about it. Name somebody who's more consistently good at writing comedy than The Onion in the past 30 years. And yep. SNL doesn't count. Fuck no, TFM does not beat The Onion. No, it doesn't exist. It's the longest standing written comedy that I'm aware of that's been incredible the entire time through.
I remember watching a video of like their process when they're pitching headlines, and it's just brutally mean. It's
really?
Just, everyone's like, no to that, no to that,
dude,
no to
that's
that.
How
like
you have
one
to do
gets
it,
through.
For real, that's how you have to do it to get the best of the best when it comes to like
yeah.
creative stuff, I swear to God.
You can break people down.
So here's some funny Onion headlines for you, all right?
Well, this is just content theft now.
Yeah. No, well, that's exactly what we do here. Kitten thinks of nothing but murder all day. And it's just a photo of a kitten.
I feel like that's too loose.
Gay teen worried he might be Christian. That's one of my all-time favorite ones. Dickhead in Sanchez jersey turns out to be Mark Sanchez. I mean, they take on everything, man. Sports, sexuality, religion, politics. There's nobody's off limits, and they make fun of everybody equally, kind of similarly to South Park.
There's
South
been
Park.
Some good offshoots, too.
Oh,
recently.
Their offshoots are fantastic. They've got Clickhole, which is basically making fun of BuzzFeed, right? It's like listicles and shit like that, but they're hilarious. They have like AV Club now that they run, too.
It's like Serious Reviews. And
yes.
I actually meant like people have taken the idea and,
oh, and
in the
run
last
with it.
2 years and run with it, and to be like specific in the way Clickhole is to BuzzFeed, like
yeah.
Reductress covers like Jezebel parodies.
That's true.
They're
yeah.
really funny.
That shit's funny.
The Hard Times does video games. They're really good.
Yeah.
I can't remember who wrote it, but one of my favorite ones this week was about all the J.K. Rowling stuff, and it was like the true mystery of Harry Potter is you were gay the whole time.
Is you were gay the whole time? yeah, that's a great fucking line. They've always been great. Patriot Hole. Y'all remember when the election was going on, the most recent one, and they launched Patriot Hole? It was basically the most hardcore right-wing satire possible.
Oh, my God.
And it took over the site for, I believe, that straight up Clickhole became Patriot Hole for a while, and now it's fallen back, and Patriot Hole is like a subsection of the site where you can find all the political shit. But point is, The Onion's unfucking believable. Everybody should read it. And I was not trying to just directly steal their content by reading their headline, but to give them their due and proper credit, if you want to read more funny shit from The Onion, you go to the fucking...
Do you have, like, link notes in the podcast?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give you that sketch that I was talking about to put in there.
Please do.
Okay.
Please do.
It was really good.
Yeah, I'll add it, for sure. And y'all can watch it on there. So the sketch that Jeff was talking about will be available in the notes below the episode with all the other sound, or the time cues and shit. Cool?
Cool.
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 Cool. Next segment, Houston Rap Song of the Week.
Ooh.
Yeah, this is quick. You know UGK?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of their songs, Quit Hating the South, it came out in 2007. It was actually on their last album that they made before Pimp C died. And it was the first one that they made since he had been released from prison after his lengthy prison term.
I want International Players Anthem to be my first dance song.
That is one of the all-time great rap songs ever made.
It really is. Yeah.
It's an unbelievable song. And Andre 3000's verse is incredible.
Oh, his verse specifically.
So good.
The beat's incredible. The music video is fucking fun as shit. Like, everybody in that just dominated. But this is a great song, too. It's got a hook from Charlie Wilson. Willie D of the Ghetto Boys shows up. Give it a listen. That's your Houston Rap Song of the Week. UGK's Quit Hating the South. It's a song that they made back when the South was getting ripped on pretty consistently for being simplistic and juvenile in their rhymes and their songs.
And then Juvenile
and
came out with...
And then Juvenile dropped Slow Motion
back that
for
ass
me.
Up.
And Back That Ass Up. Slow Motion for me is my favorite of the two. If I have to pick one of those to grind with a chick on...
No, I'd go with...
Back That Ass Up?
Yeah.
I'm Slow Motion for me guy. That's just the difference between you and me.
I think it's because Back That Ass Up is such a busy beat song that no one can tell that I'm off beat when
that
I dance.
You can't actually dance?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so this is strategic for you.
Yes, exactly.
Well, hey, before we get into the next one, RBP 162 is also brought to you by Fulton and Rourke. We've been talking about Fulton and Rourke for a very long time now. We've told you about their awesome solid colognes that smell amazing, but are travel friendly and don't smell up the whole room. We've told you about their award-winning line of bar soap, shaving cream, shampoos, and so on. They've earned awards from and features in Men's Health, Esquire, GQ, The Wall Street Journal. The list goes on and on. But some of you still have not pulled the trigger. Maybe you need another reason. How's this? If you don't like something you try, Fulton and Rourke will give you your money back. With their 30-day no-questions-asked return policy, if you don't love something, send it back and they'll fully refund you. Or they'll help you exchange your product for something else that you will love, your choice. If your question is why the hell would you have such a laid-back policy, it's because 98% of their customers keep their purchases. So yeah, it's a great way to go about doing business. Hop on their website, check out their product reviews. Not only will you find lots of nice things said about their products, you'll also find customers raving about the great customer service. If you want 15% off your entire order, just use the code RBP. Check out FultonandRourke.com today. Use the code RBP at checkout to save 15%. That's FULTON and ROARK.com. Code RBP. Next segment. The last thing. What? What's up?
I just got a push notification from Bleacher Report that says... Gruden cried after Mac trade. John Gruden said he cried for 3 days after trading Mac.
I thought it was going to be James Harden injury or something. You just fucking made my...
By that heart
drop. Bleacher Report.
Sorry.
Dude, that happened to me at one point. I got very bad sports news broken to me on the air, and it was...
Do you remember what it was?
No, it was like a year and a half ago or something.
I remember coming back from summer camp and my dad telling me Ricky Williams had retired. I'm a diehard Dolphins fan, and I just thought he was lying to me because he's an asshole. And then he like showed me a newspaper and I was like, "This, my summer is ruined."
Ricky Williams has one of the most interesting fucking lives. Like,
you ever watched
maybe
that 30
ever.
For 30?
No.
About his life?
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good, though. Like, kind of told his story.
I thought he does, like, a bunch of good shit now for kids and stuff. And
he's a coach.
He's
at UT, I think.
Weed advocate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heavy weed advocate.
Very big into weed, which, respect. Hey, I got a few hotline calls to play before you leave. There's three calls that we're going to play. Here's the first one.
And only two of them are from Ross.
That's true.
What's up, Ross? This is Christian from Sacramento, California. Huge fan of the pod. I was recently listening to episode, I think it was 154, where you were talking about the documentary about the Michael Jackson accusers. And I know this isn't the topic of what you were talking about, but you mentioned during that segment that Michael Jackson was a god amongst everyone else, you know, having that status as that big of a celebrity. And then you said that we don't really have anyone like that today or in recent history, which, frankly, that's a statement that I would have to disagree with. I would say Drake currently is at that level right now, especially in the rap game. But I think everybody and their mother knows who Drake is. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. And if you disagree with me on Drake, if you think someone else is, I'd love to hear your opinion. So anyways, love the pod. Gang, gang, gang. Keep it up. Love you guys. Bye.
Now, before everybody destroys you.
Jesus Christ.
We're like getting in line to wait our turn.
I was waiting to hear Prince, and I was like, I wholeheartedly agree. But that took a turn for the retarded.
Christian from Sacramento. You just tried to say that Aubrey Graham is on the same level as Michael Jackson, man. That's not the same. Michael Jackson stood as a symbol to all black Americans and then black people around the world that they could achieve superstardom or even just success and break all racial, economic, and societal boundaries. That could be done.
And what did Prince do?
He was an icon on that level.
No,
he did that too. I'm not arguing for Prince
because I think Prince is way better than Michael Jackson.
But at that point, and even, I mean, Prince was an icon all on his own and in a totally different way almost, but nobody had ever done for black people in the realm of celebrity in the way that Michael Jackson did up until that point, which is really, really wild to think about. He inspired an entire generation of black people to believe that they could do things bigger and better than everybody before them. Drake inspires teens to be emotionally open with their girlfriends. He doesn't carry anywhere near the kind of weight.
And still not text them back.
That Michael Jackson. Well, in some cases, that's actually what he's
encouraging. Wasn't he rumored to be dating the kid from Stranger Things?
Like, they have a bit of a close relationship that is a little uncomfortable because she's still underage, I think.
She's like 14.
Who are we talking about?
Millie Billy Willie?
Her?
Yeah. Dude, her and Drake are like best friends. They're like really close friends.
She's like a kid,
but
kid.
She's a child. 13. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you become friends with a child?
It's the Michael Jackson shit all over again.
Because I'll say I had adult friends when I was like 16, but I met them from working retail and was like my manager.
So that's a totally different situation.
Yeah.
If you're a child and you're hanging out with adults and it's not because you work with them, something weird is going on in most cases. Like, and I don't think these two actually work together. I'm not going to comment
on
Drake. The point is, the comparison between Drake and Michael Jackson is just completely off base. It's no disrespect to Drake's career. Like, I know he's done a lot of good in a lot of communities, especially in Toronto and Houston and elsewhere. And his list of hits is long as fuck. It rivals anybody's. But to pretend that his cultural impact has been anywhere close to Michael Jackson. But yeah, no. Michael Jackson and Drake, this is not an actual comparison that we're going to allow to happen. Next call.
What's up, Ross? Ethan in Tennessee. Traveling to Texas for the first time. Two opinions. Kolaches are good. Fuck the pollen.
What the fuck?
That's it?
That was Ethan from Tennessee who has two opinions about Texas. One, kolaches are good. So let's talk about that first. Mia, you kolache person?
Yes, absolutely. But only at the place that's midway between here and Dallas, close to Waco.
Stop.
Yeah.
Which is spelled Czech as in Czechoslovakia.
Yeah. Czech stop.
Yeah. I will not pass
Czechia
it without stopping.
Czech
I don't
Republic,
care how long the line is.
Depending on what decade you're in.
I think I was there last. Are you making USSR jokes over there?
A little bit, because that we me and her talk about that country a lot because they keep changing their name.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So we never know what it actually
is. We talk about Ukraine a lot because people like to say the Ukraine, and it's just fucking Ukraine.
Why do people say the Ukraine?
I don't know, but no one says the Germany.
I think it's like extra pride, like saying you're from the U.
No, but no one says that.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Why? This is the second time this week you've brought up the U. Why?
It's his example.
It's because it's all why? About the U.
Why?
The Ohio State University would also work. People always do. She's about to throw heavy objects at Jeff. It's getting heated. But you love kolaches.
I love kolaches.
Good, good. So we're a kolache podcast. It's been too long since we mentioned kolaches. Glad we're all on the kolache train here.
Absolutely.
Second, fuck the pollen. Yeah, my car is no longer silver. It is pollen. My house was once a beautiful shade of blue. Now it is pollen. My lungs were once blackened by cigarettes and weed. Now they are yellow from pollen. I'm fucking dying in this city.
It's because you're white. Only white people have allergies.
Why is that?
Y'all are weak.
It's your immune system.
Thought we were supposed to be strong.
No.
We're not. We're actually the weakest race.
You got to be hardened by a civil war to not have any allergies.
God damn.
Or food
all that
aversions.
Extra melatonin also like makes you impervious to allergies.
Motherfuckers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, white people, we're
not
good.
It's not melatonin, idiot.
What is it?
Melanin.
No, melatonin is, melatonin is what helps
you
fall asleep.
Melatonin is what you take before bed.
I thought it was the same thing.
Oh my God.
I thought I was taking
wait, no, you want to hear something
gummies
funny?
For that.
Yesterday on the phone, I told Robert that I had gotten an original Harry Potter drawing from the book by the illustrator from Harry Potter. And he goes, oh, cool, J.R.R. Tolkien? And I was like...
Combine like
foreign.
That was my exact reaction. I was like, first of all...
Honestly, good effort.
Yeah.
Honestly,
that was a try.
That's a pretty good effort.
Like sci-fi.
J.R.R. Tolkien. Yeah. So it's like two other people.
Yeah.
Good God. All right, one more call. And then we'll be done with the hotline.
What up, Ross? This is Alex. I live in North Carolina. I've been listening to the pod. I think I'm on episode 85. Not all the way there yet, but I'm getting there. A few times you guys have talked about tipping and like the 5%, 10% tip. And I just want to say that's kind of trash. Maybe not. But I am a churchgoer. I know all about giving. I'm not good at tithing. So I feel my tip for other people, I just give to people. I like to make someone's day. I like to over tip. I just picked up a fucking pizza from Little Caesars and I gave the cashier $5 because guess what? She's going to be happy now. So I feel like everyone out there needs to be better tippers. You don't always have to. You can always live by the law. But if I don't give back in any other way and if other people don't, then fucking give someone a good tip. Make their day. I mean, money makes people smile. That's all I have to say. Don't bash me.
I have an opinion on this.
Yes.
Okay, so I will not tip at counter places because they get paid.
This is for tip, for pickup?
No. Like if I'm at the coffee shop and then they turn the screen towards me and it gives the option to tip.
You don't tip?
I don't tip because they get compensated fully, hourly, on salary.
Okay.
When you're at a restaurant and a server is serving you, I tip 20%.
Right.
But at counter places that try and get you to tip extra, that money is not going to the employees.
So like at Jack in the Box when there's a tip line.
No, I'm talking about like...
And you're like, what the fuck?
I've asked them before.
Okay. But you mean like at
Barley Bean
like radio or coffee shop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Any place that's like just a counter place, they are getting paid salary.
So where do those tips go even?
Going to the restaurant.
Yeah, that's always been
confusing. It's not getting redistributed back to the employees. It's going to the restaurant.
Because I always give another buck or two or whatever. Like it shames me. I'm like, ah!
Yeah. But at restaurants, you should always tip 20% unless the service was so unbearably bad. Then you tip 10 to 15%. But so like you, unbearably bad to the point where it is definitely not the kitchen's fault. It is the terrible server's fault.
Jumped on the table and yelled at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they completely ignored you and then acted annoyed by you asking for a drink or
a
refill.
That's the thing that I think for some people is difficult, though. Like... By some people, I mean stupid people. They can't determine whether or not it's their waiter or waitress's fault or it's the kitchen a lot of the time. And then the server ends up getting fucked because of something that was completely out of their control or whatever.
Just tip 20%. If it's a $100 check, you tip $20. If it's 50, you tip 10.
Just get rid of tipping and pay everyone
a wage.
That's
how it is in Europe. It's amazing.
Dude, wait,
you
what?
You never tip there. That was uncomfortable for me. I'm like,
I didn't know this was an option.
Tipping is left over from the Great Depression.
Yeah.
It fucking sucks.
We've just never reverted since.
It's the worst system. It comes up like.
It's the worst because like people will come
here. It's built on your shame.
Yeah.
A lot of it is.
Like, it is. It's like,
and then you get shamed for not tipping the standard amount.
Yeah, do I have to look this person in the eye after they pick up my receipt? And how bad do I have to feel about it?
Yeah.
That is like, I don't want that in my meal. I just want to taste the food, enjoy it, and leave. And so charge me another, you know, 20% on the meal and pay your fucking server.
Yeah.
Like, don't make it my job.
It's your problem, right?
As a restaurateur, just get rid of it and pay everyone what they're supposed to be paid.
That'll never happen, though.
You obviously, you go to restaurants a lot.
Yes.
You and Robert get to go to restaurants a lot. You're going to be opening a restaurant, so this is something you know a lot about.
I know nothing about it. He knows everything about it.
Well, whatever. You would know enough to at least have a conversation with me.
She'll be there opening night.
When we, I'm sure she will. When we go to a place that has an automatic 10 or 15% added to the tip already, like, you know, a lot of nice restaurants will do that so that you don't have to worry about it. That's basically their way of doing their life.
Or places will do it for any parties over 5 or 6.
Yeah, that's, I've always known about that. Yeah. That always made sense to me. I'm like, cool, sure. Yeah, you don't want to deal with somebody fucking the waiter or waitress that just worked their ass off at this big party. I've always understood that. It's always been weird to me when it's like me and Taylor and we get it back and there's already a tip on
it. Oh, I love it when that happens.
Well, I never knew that you didn't have to add additional. I always thought that was like, oh, it's because this
first
place
tip
is fancy. Yeah.
Second tip.
Now it's time for second tip. But like, there's a Curb Your Enthusiasm where like he's tipping the waiter captain and this whole thing breaks out. But
I like that episode.
It's a good episode. But the point is, I found this out like literally 3 weeks ago. So I've just been setting money on fire.
You've just been really nice.
My entire life. Like, I have a shit ton of good karma coming back my way is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Like, something needs to be hooking it up, because I've been overdoing the fuck out of it. Also, I gave a homeless dude $100 the other day.
He's spending it on crack.
And that was irresponsible, because he probably did spend
should've
it on
crack.
Should
have gotten him
a gift card. Yeah.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
He'd probably sell it for crack.
Oh,
yeah,
damn it.
You 75 cents on the dollar.
You know what? Anytime I see, like, I'm not going to say where. I almost just gave away literally where I live. But
see, you're not. That's why you need Jeff here.
Exactly.
In the cloud kingdom where I give my gift cards.
No. So there is a pet store in the vicinity, and I always see this homeless man with a dog. And I have never given the homeless man anything, but twice I've given him a bag of dog food and a bag
dog
of
money.
Treats.
Because you care about the dog.
I care more about the dog than him.
For sure.
And he'll eat the dog
food
if he's
people.
Really hungry.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, like, if you gave me the option, like, you can save the guy or the dog.
So anytime I go to that specific pet store to get my dog's food, which I usually order on Amazon unless, like, you know, they're starving and I ran out, I always get an extra bag and I give it to the guy and the dog.
Well, that's nice of you.
Thank you. Yeah. I care more about the dog.
Yeah, usually when someone approaches me and says, like, hey, will you buy me a meal? I'm usually good for it.
Or, like, when I used to smoke cigarettes, I'd give them a couple Lucy's.
Yeah, you know what? I've had a dude at the gas station be like, yo, dude, can you run across the street with me to Whataburger?
See, I never do it when they ask, but when I see that they're
smoking.
Yeah,
I'm not going to another location. Like, if I'm at Whataburger and you come up behind me and like, hey, man, would you buy me a burger? I'd be like, yeah, okay. But usually then he's like, what about two burgers?
Yeah.
I just said yes. Like, leave me alone.
I said, we'll go to Whataburger.
What about the mortgage on my house that got foreclosed on?
I'm going to take all the burgers, and you're going to pay for them.
I'm saying, if you ask for money.
No, wait, that's the chicken. That's the
That's a Z's.
Oh, wait.
Isn't it?
No.
What are you going on about?
I tried to show Jeff. He wasn't familiar with that internet meme from like 10 years ago that was like, I'll take some waffle fries.
Oh,
free.
Oh.
I kept trying to show that to him. He goes, I'm not interested. It's not funny.
So long.
What's the name of that video?
I can't fucking remember. I'm looking it up right now.
Unforgivable.
Boring guy talks in black and white for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It was like a series of videos.
Yeah, it was.
Unforgivable was the ongoing joke in the.
I said, bitch. Get me a chicken sandwich and some waffle fries.
And for some reason, it was the funniest thing any of us had ever seen.
Seriously.
So I said unforgivable. He goes, where's that from?
Well, if you showed that to somebody who didn't see it then, now, they're like,
it's like showing
weirdo.
Someone Charlie bit my finger in 2019.
Yes, it doesn't translate. So it has to be something you saw then. And for whatever reason, it was like one of the first funny YouTube videos to go viral. It's like random black dude. I would love to know where that guy's at now, by the way, because that's just like, there's no way he.
We're gonna
that man. Play. Barack
meals
Obama.
At Chick-fil-A.
It was not Barack Obama. It's just some other
you racist fuck.
Regular black
just
dude.
Some other guy with melatonin.
Okay, now before you leave, you have a new, what is it called, Jeff?
Chrome extension.
An extension.
It's
for
a
Chrome.
It's a Tinder plugin.
You can get it at miasfiredates.com.
Yeah. And what it does for you is it swipes for you even when you're not on Tinder.
So you're essentially working the Tinder system.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of remembers your swipes and what you're into, and it swipes for you. And it can also automatically send a message for you when you're not even on the app.
It's a numbers game.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you use the same line on all your matches,
and you can set it to say whatever you want.
Right. So essentially, you're automating the process of people being able to match up with as many.
Yeah, you just don't have to waste time on Tinder. It's more fun to like open up the app and be like, "Holy shit! Yeah, look at all these messages
someone
I have
you don't
that
like
you didn't have to work for."
I have 636 new matches, and I haven't even looked at my fucking phone. The odds of you having sex then are going to go way up.
Yep.
That's why you go to miasfiredates.com. It's mostly for the sex.
It is. Yeah. That's what Tinder is for.
Well, we appreciate you being here with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Obviously, where
There's
can
a,
we follow along?
Oh,
what's the code for people on miasfiredates.com?
There's a code.
It's my fucking name.
It's Ross Bolin, what not you, RBP. It's just Ross fucking Bolin. It's Ross Bolin, not Ross fucking Bolin.
What do you get with the code?
Yeah, Jeff, what do they get with the code?
I'm pretty sure it drops the price the first month to a dollar.
Oh, cool. The price is normally like
discount.
$4 anyway, so a dollar is pretty manageable for anybody.
So if you're looking to maximize your Tinder swipage, go to miasfiredates.com and type in Ross Bolin, and you'll get like money off.
You'll get laid, and you can thank Ross.
And then you'll have sex. But just thank Mia, not me. Keep this between you and them. It's miasfiredates.com, not rossesfiredates.com. That's a whole other deal.
We're working on
really
that.
Really regret not calling it Mia's Fire Swipes.
Oh.
Really regret that.
Don't put that out into the universe.
Why?
I don't know. Now it just makes me feel bad.
Yeah, me too.
You're just shaming.
It's never too late to rebrand.
It's too late to rebrand. Right. Miasfiredates.com. Don't All confuse right. the
Well,
people.
Sometimes it's definitely too late to rebrand. Like, for instance, you can't rebrand. You're Mia Khalifa. You
Fuck
cannot
you. That's
change.
That's what I've been trying to do for 5 years.
No, but you're still Mia Khalifa. You're a different Mia Khalifa.
You're not going by George Flamont.
I tried. That was the weirdest 2 weeks of my life.
When you went by George Flamont?
Yeah.
Where else can we follow you and be sure and follow
Nowhere
you with Robert's
in public.
Journey? Did you have an issue with a stalker recently or something? I feel like you and
Not
Jeff
recently.
Are on edge.
I think I talked to you about it on one of the podcasts I did with you. I had one like a year and a half ago.
Oh, fuck, really?
Yeah. Which is why I'm moving now. No,
I'm just kidding. Oh, man. Stalkers. Don't stalk people. If you're a creepy, horny dude, just stay home. Don't follow anyone around.
Just follow online.
Just stay home. You've got a computer.
And
you
buy Mia's Fire Dates.
And then buy Mia's Firedates.com and use that to get 1,000 swipes on your fucking Tinder. But where can we follow you on Instagram and shit? Just Google Mia's name.
Don't do that. Do anything but that.
That was the worst advice I could have given. Don't Google her name. Instagram.com. Go
Mia Khalifa on Instagram, Mia Khalifa on Twitter, the DC Sports Girl on Snapchat, or you can just put in the bat emoji and I come up on Snapchat.
I'm still so jealous of that.
Sorry.
That's very
Jeff
cool.
has a contact at Snapchat.
What if what happens when Christian Bale goes to Snapchat and he's like, "All right, I finally get to pick my emoji. I want the bat."
App.
And they're like, "Oh, sorry, Mia Khalifa scooped that bat
I think
years ago."
That's when Mia gets bumped.
That's when Mia
Shut up.
Christian Bale's going to be
You better be a fucking better manager than that.
I don't think Christian Bale wants the bat. I think he's
I will only relinquish the bat if he adds me on Snapchat.
If Christian Bale adds you on Snapchat?
Yeah.
What about Michael
Keaton?
All
I'll do all day is I have countless Batman art all over my apartment.
You
I have a Batman
have
tattoo.
A lot, yeah.
Yeah, I have a shit ton. I'll just put filters on all of the Batman faces and send them to him all day long.
For the record, I haven't been in her apartment. She puts up pictures and shit. I see like big ass Batman poster is very noticeable.
Of all the Batmen, I think Michael Keaton or Val Kilmer are more likely to be after your bat emoji than
Christian
Bale.
Clinging to that role.
Michael
for dear
Keaton
life.
Would because he thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
But fat what's
Val Kilmer.
It? Val Kilmer.
Fat Kilmer.
He would be doing it because he would want it because he's sad.
Yeah.
Because he needs.
People don't know him from anything else.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
No, don't know what that is.
Heat.
Googler. Nope. What an idiot. That will do it for our... We have, what?
It is hot in this room, y'all.
RBP 162 is fucking over. Go to rossbolinpodcast.com. Sign up for the RBP newsletter. The third edition is coming soon. Rate and review. Tell a friend, a family member, a coworker. Do all your legal obligations. Follow us on Instagram at
Pay
the Ross Bolin Podcast. On Twitter at Ross Bolin Pod. We're also on Facebook. Nobody cares where. Follow me, Ross Bolin, on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at WR Bolin on all three. AJ, you can say yours at a normal speed. Where can people follow you?
Twitter and Instagram at Capital AJ, CapitalAJ. And then, just DM me if you have any ideas, suggestions,
anything
comments,
you want
concerns.
Me to do a video.
You got to work on another way to say that.
Yeah, because it sounds like Capital AJ. I'm like, it doesn't matter what font they put it in. Yeah.
C-A-P. Yeah. No, then he spells it.
Yeah. Right, there, that's where he lost me is when he was spelling it.
Then he started spelling and you were like, what's happening?
Yeah. It's like when someone reads you a phone number and they go like 187-290 and you're like, wait, I don't know digits anymore.
Oh, Robert does that all the time. I'm like, no!
Pick, it's either the individual numbers
exactly.
Or you
get
or you can group them, but you can't do both.
I can't change it now. It's like my brand now.
No,
like
see, you can't rebrand either.
Yeah, that's it.
You can't.
That's
I can't.
A wrap.
TFM will always be a part of me. The three of us are all screwed. Jeff, you want new friends?
Sure.
Yeah.
At Jerf Solo.
J E R F.
Oh, now you're confusing
Solo.
Me.
See, now she did it. Spelled the first.
Or just go to my bio on Instagram.
Sure, that's it.
Sweet. Rowdygentleman.com/RBP, RBP15. We'll get you 15% off. We'll catch you next time on episode 163, RBP 163. Coming soon. Gang, gang, gang. Peace be with you and also with you.